I was sexually abused.
I was raped.
I started using drugs at the age of 15.
I was molested as a child.
I was an alcoholic. I tried meth for the first time at 12.
I was a compulsive alcoholic.
I lost my kidney smoking crack.
Hi, I hope everyone had a great July 4th. Welcome to Her Addiction Podcast. My name is Pastor Rachel Young. I had the pleasure of actually serving at our church for Feed the Multitudes event that we have every year. It's been 30 years now. It's always an amazing time. This year was really special in that we all know the world's going through so much turmoil and there's so much division. And just really to have the opportunity to have people come and share the love of Jesus with them and then actually put food in their bellies as well is such an amazing time experience. I believe for just miracles, signs, and wonders this year. And a lot of people were really touched. And it just really moved my heart. I had the opportunity to pray for a young lady named Alicia, which was very both impactful for her and for me as well. It just reinvigorated my faith in God and His ability to break down barriers and really open blind eyes and open deaf ears, just like He did in me. I'd like to share a little bit about that and then read a blog to you by Pastor Frank, who's the pastor of Victory Church, where I go, and where Mary Song is underneath, part of Victory Church, which really is beneficial because it has that spiritual element and spiritual inheritance and just longevity that Mary Song partakes of as being part of this body of Christ. It's really supernatural and powerful. So this girl came into the line and she was just kind of there, you know, kind of indifferent, not upset or and not really happy either, just kind of there. She was in line to get her hair cut, get washed and cut, and I asked her if I could pray for her. She was kind of like, sure, just kind of lackadaisical about it, and said that she had other people had prayed for her as well. So I just started praying for her, and in the middle of praying for her, I felt like the Lord wanted me to ask her if she knew Him, if she knew about Jesus and why He came. And, you know, I was actually shocked that she said no, that she'd never heard the gospel. So it was just like, wow, to think that we live in a world where there's still people that don't know the gospel. It's a real thing. There's a lot of people in our country that have never heard the gospel. And so as I began to tell her about Jesus and why He came, in the natural perspective of it, you know, it can sound like a story. It kind of sounded like a story to me before I was born again. And so as I'm telling her, I'm wondering if she's, you know, if it's becoming real to her or not, because I know that in our natural man, we really can't, at least in my experience, believe in God or really believe the things of God. We need a spiritual rebirth and revelation from Jesus to really be able to truly know Him. And so as I was praying for her and I asked her that and I started to share the gospel with her, I opened my eyes and she was just, tears are just streaming out of her eyes. And I felt the presence of God all over her and just loving on her. And then I began to lead her to the Lord and have her open her heart to Jesus and ask Him into her life. And it was really a powerful, beautiful experience because I really was able to experience Jesus extending His hand to her and opening her heart to His love. And it was just absolutely beautiful. You know, it had nothing to do with me or my ability to convince her. It was an act of God, an act of grace from God from heaven, which is what salvation is for all of us. And then after I shared with her, I told her about baptism and told her I thought she should get baptized, and she went and got baptized. And she looked like a completely different person after she received the Lord. And it was just such a blessing to me and to her. And then I invited her to come to church on Sunday, so I'm hoping that she comes. But that's pretty much what happened to me. I had personally heard of the gospel, on and off throughout my life. And when I was a little child and I was still somewhat naive, I was able to believe in Jesus. But as I got older, you know, and the stories that I was told, well, they weren't all biblically correct. But needless to say, even the ones that were, I found myself rejecting them because I was kind of angry at God, and I blamed God for the pain in my life and the trauma in my life and the struggle being raised by a mentally ill, drug-addicted father, and just not having what I felt like a fair shot, and then genetically being predisposed to all of those things naturally. And from my environment, became an addict as well. Felt super judged by God, condemned by the God of Christianity. And I just really just rejected it altogether. And then I actually, led a lot of people away from that as well. I felt like Christians were hypocritical and ignorant and just unintelligent, you know, and just stupid. And then I didn't really have respect for them either, because I felt like they would preach one thing and live another kind of a way. Because like I said, my dad was mentally ill and addicted to drugs. He read his Bible every day, took us to church, which I'm thankful for that now, because the Word of God doesn't return void. But at the time, it was just not a good witness for me, because I heard the words, but the life didn't match. And he was so tormented, you know. I've since forgiven him and let him off the hook, which is a beautiful thing that the Lord enabled me to do. I'm super thankful for that. I understand his struggle. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. And so he ended up doing things that he knew he shouldn't do. So he was super condemned and tormented. And after I found myself in addiction for 25 years, I was arrested and ended up in jail. Heard about Mary's Song, which is where I work now. I'm the director. I've been here 11 years. I stayed as a student for 10, and then I became an intern, and then a staff member, and now I'm the director after. Been the director since 2018. One miracle after another. But as I came and I was presented the gospel again, I knew that I needed help, so I committed myself to the Lord, went up for salvation, felt good about the decision that I made, and later on that week had my first supernatural experience with the presence of God. And really, I attribute that moment to really crossing, being born again, where I stepped into the supernatural reality of God. Like, I experienced it. That's my first practical experience with actually interaction with the King of the Universe, who was actually also my Father. And so it all began to change. And then I was shortly after that baptized in the Holy Spirit, which opened up that portal and that conduit and connection to heaven. And, you know, I began to interact with eternity and God himself, and he began to change me. And that's where it's at. That's where the power is in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and with the evidence of speaking in tongues and praying in the Holy Ghost. It's a disconnect from the natural realm and a stepping into the supernatural. And it's just really has transformed my life. It's been, like I said, almost 11 years now. I never went back, never got high again, never fell into sexual sin or cigarettes or none of it, or drinking or nothing. And my mind's been renewed, and I'm not depressed. I've had faced challenges, obviously, and struggles, but I was never, ever the same. And I'm super thankful for that. And I love my church because we are theologically sound and preach the Word of God, but also welcome the Holy Spirit to move in whatever capacity he sees fit, you know. And that's really changed my life, that I have a friend that sticks closer than a brother and is inside of me to help me overcome the things of the natural realm, and he's imparted his power into me. It's just super cool. So I'm going to read this blog by Pastor Frank. He actually put it out today. It's called Regenerate and Renew. And it's from Titus chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we did in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he richly poured out upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior. This is a beautiful verse written by Paul to his son in the faith, Titus. This short passage describes part of the amazing work of the Holy Spirit in all of our lives. First, Paul says that there is a washing of regeneration that the Holy Spirit performs in us. Our sins are washed away as far as God is concerned. We are no longer banished from His presence because of the blood of His Son. Our inner man is also washed clean by the work of the Holy Spirit. The precious Holy Spirit washes away all of the filth from our past that enables us to enjoy, and then enables us to enjoy our life in Christ. Here's how Dick Mills describes washing of regeneration. And so the word washing of regeneration is palagnesia. It's a Greek word, palagnesia. The word is used twice in the New Testament. The regenerative activity of the Holy Spirit is characterized elsewhere in Scripture as cleansing and purifying. The Greek term for regeneration literally means being born again, indicating a new birth brought about by the Holy Spirit. Thus, God saved us through one process with two aspects. So the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. So we're washed in the blood of Jesus, born again, and we are regenerated and renewed also. The regeneration and the rebirth by the Holy Ghost happens. Rebirth, being born again, happens by the Holy Ghost. So it's born again and then saved, you know, and then we're being saved continually, as in a regeneration and renewal and rebirth daily, a washing, transforming us into the image of Jesus. Renewing us, restoring us back to God, removing the glom and the things of our flesh man that gets coated on us. We're washed daily, so we're just refreshed, renewed, and washed. I love that. And that's how we are able to overcome and continue and not fall back into sin and slavery. So He not only washes away God's view of our sin, like God does not no longer sees our sin. The Holy Ghost washes that off in when we're born again. And then our own view of our sinful life, He renews us. We can actually live in a constant state of renewal. The Holy Spirit transforms our entire life by His constant work of renewal. So here are some thoughts by Dick Mills on the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Anakinosis, that's the word, it's a Greek word. A combination of ana, which means again, and kenos, which means new. The word suggests a renovation, restoration, transformation, and a change of heart and life. In Romans 12:2, it indicates a complete change for the better, an adjustment of one's moral and spiritual vision. Here it stresses the work of the Holy Spirit in transforming the life. This is notes from Pastor Frank. This verse takes my breath away. Is it really possible to be made new over and over again? Yes. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to live in us, to continue that work in us, that He would be with us wherever we went, and He would continually wash and renew us according to the Word of God. He has made us alive through the Holy Spirit, and He continually transforms us with His love. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:18, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another." So He is literally making each of us new daily by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And this has really been a true reality in my life, because apart from God, I can do nothing. Apart from His grace and His daily washing, renewal, invigorating me, renovating, transforming me continually, I would fall back. I would be left to my own abilities and my inabilities. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, I've been brought into newness of life. He keeps me there, and He continues to call me higher and equip me to go deeper with Him. It really all begins and is sustained and ends in Him. And, you know, this is such an encouraging word, because Christianity is not a get better program. It's not a list of things to do and check off your list so that you become a better person, which I was super thankful for that, because I didn't have the ability to do that. because if I did, I never would have been an addict in the first place. You don't grow up saying, oh, I can't wait to grow up and be a heroin addict or a meth junkie, you know. But yet that's where I found myself, because I was not equipped to do life and to be joyful and thankful and have peace. And by His grace and mercy, Jesus reached down and grabbed a hold of me, called my name, opened my eyes and ears to hear. And He so graciously has continued and will continue that work of sanctification in my life until the day I see Him face to face, when it will be finally and totally complete. But until then, I'm in a relationship with Him. He has betrothed and committed Himself to me and put His Spirit inside of me to fulfill His plan for my life as we cooperate, as we come hand in hand. There's a word, love it. Sunanti lambanami. And it means to come alongside and pull with against what's pulling against me. So this Holy Spirit, Sunanti lambanami, which is actually helps, which is hilarious. In Greek, it's Sunanti lambanami, that scripture. When I don't know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit comes alongside of me and prays through me. It's tongues. It's Horemashananaya, Daya Rabakuria Rasiki. It's the Holy Spirit praying the will of God through me in prayer and in worship. And it just escorts you into the presence of God and His joy and peace and love and all these beautiful things, the fruit of the Spirit. So I hope this word has been an encouragement to you. I want to encourage you, don't give up. Press in. Go deeper with the Lord. Put yourself in a position to experience God, which means you really need to be a part of a body of believers, because the Lord operates within the body. And as we come together and worship Him, it says He inhabits our praises. When two or more are gathered in His name, He's in our midst. As we come together and worship the Lord, He comes and He begins to minister to us. And then you also develop relationships in a community for practical help as well. There's nothing like it. And we really aren't called to live apart. We're called to live together. Jesus says, don't forsake the gathering of the saints. The church is a body of believers, but it gathers in a building. It gathers together in communion and eats together and worships together and fellowships together and does life together. That's why Jesus likens us to sheep. We live in a flock and we have a good shepherd. And when we're not in the house of God, in the flock of God, and we're living and working and breathing and working as an organism with different parts and giftings, all of us coming together, like we did at Feed the Multitudes, it was the body of Christ coming together and all of our gifts being used. When we're separate, we're impotent. We're just like an eye or hand or a leg. But when we come together, we're a functioning body with Christ as the head. So I just want to encourage you to come and get involved. Come be a part of a church. If you're not anywhere, I'm always going to totally suggest a Victory, because it's really an amazing church. I love it. My life has been changed and continues to be changed here. And we're running hard after the Lord and resting with the Lord. And it's just really an amazing experience. And if you don't know Jesus, I'd like to just say a small prayer with you right now. It's really simple. It's really just really putting yourself in a position, your heart in a posture of to receive, of humility, of need. You know, we're all sinners and we need a Savior, and that's why Jesus came. And when we receive His forgiveness, the sin and the stain and the chains are broken off. We're washed in His blood. And we step over into newness of life and become His children. And then we can walk with Him and look to Him for help. And He receives us and loves us and forgives us. The chains get broke and you don't live in condemnation anymore. And you begin to operate and do things that the Lord would want you to do instead of being in bondage to sin and things that are harmful. So if you just want to take a moment, Lord, I thank You, God, for every person that's listening to this recording. Father God, I thank You, Lord, it's not by accident, Lord, that You've called them to this place, God, to draw them to Your heart, Lord. And I just thank You, Lord, as I say this prayer with them, as I lead them in this prayer, that You are going to reveal yourself to them and really touch them in a way that transforms their lives forever. And they're going to know that you are their God and their Father, and that they are their that they are your children. And I thank you, Lord, you're going to fill them with the Holy Spirit that bears witness with their spirit that they are children of God. So I'd like you to just repeat after me. Say, Lord, thank you for dying for me. Thank you that when you went to the cross and poured out your blood, that it was for me. Thank you, Jesus, that your blood has the power to forgive sin and wash away all my sin. I receive your forgiveness right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that as I do this, that you have taken me out of the kingdom of darkness and you're placing me into the kingdom of your love. I thank you, God, that my old life is finished and that today all things have been made new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me the grace and strength and delight to run after you and follow you with my whole heart for the rest of my life. Thank you that today is the day that I become your child and that I am your child right now. Thank you for loving me. And in Jesus' name, amen. I just want to encourage you again that if you prayed this prayer, that you just find a church, get connected, get baptized. Jesus said that you should go out and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's really just a picture of Jesus, old man, the flesh man, as a man dying, being buried, and being raised to newness of life and being exalted to the right hand of the Father. And as we walk in his footsteps, and he didn't have to be baptized, but he did. He was an example. When we get put underneath, when we are submerged under that water, it's a death. It's a picture of that death of that old man and rising up in Christ in newness of life with being filled with the Holy Spirit and resurrection power. It's a picture of death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And so we do that by faith, and it really does, something really does happen in that. So thank you so much for listening. Have a blessed day. Jesus loves you very, very much. Bye-bye.
I am redeemed.
I've been set free, and he who the Son sets free is free indeed.
Now I have hope in the future.
I am a child of God.
I'm loved.
I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am more than a conqueror by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony.